for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 14th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday morning, October the 28th, 2010, Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on how the enemy gets ground.
Jane said she feels that there's someone here that has a word from the Lord and they need to let it go. They need to bring it forth. Praise you, Jesus. Don't let that blocking spirit block you. In the name of Jesus.
Is a lighthouse unto those that walk in darkness. I am doing a new work in each one of you this week. You will never be the same. Draw close to me, for mysteries that the world cannot understand will be given to you.
Yes.
And the light of the Holy Spirit will continue to invade your life moment by moment, day by day.
Yes, Lord.
As you walk in this new walk that I am allowing to come into each one of your lives.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Have your will. If there's anything else, have your will.
And revealed to you this day, continue in my word. Search out each nugget, as each one will receive a different scripture from the word to lead you, guide you, and direct you. These are nothing that you have earned or deserved. This is all given to you because of the perfect work of my Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do not take lightly what you have received here today, because this is what the world needs to hear, and I will use you to bring this through all the corners of the world as you find little groups of people that are hungry to know more and to be used in this last day. I have reserved your lives and prepared you and given you strength and honor and glory because of the anointing that has fallen on my Son is passed down to you. His authority is given to you in these days. Draw close to me, and I will continue to draw close to you.
Amen. And I will begin to make those places that are so crooked in you, those places that you thought you could never get around, I will begin to straighten those, saith the Lord, and I will begin to put a straight path before you. The hills that you thought were too difficult for you to climb, you will put your hand in mine, and we will sail over those hills. The depths that you thought you could never go into, you will find yourself in those situations. You will wonder how I got here and what am I doing here. But I would say that I am sending you into places that you've never been. I'm sending you into areas that you've never been. I'm sending you to higher places than you've ever been. I'm sending you over mountains. I'm sending you under the veils. I'm sending you places you've never been. But I would say you must stay close to me. You must walk with me. You must heed my spirit, and you must listen for my direction. For I will direct your path, says the Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Stand up. God has spoken to us this
morning.
That's
right.
Praise you, Lord. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. You are the mighty God. Mighty God. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You may be seated. Speaking of nuggets, Kevin has up to last night's. If last night's CD is not out here, it will be out here shortly. He's keeping up with those. It's there. All right. All right, the DVDs will have to be mailed, but Linda will take your order back there. But Kevin tries to get the CDs done ASAP so that you can take them home, share them with your sheep, share them with your family, share them with whoever God lays on your heart to share them. You know, the word nugget was spoken through the word, and someone else spoke about gold panning or something here this week, and
I'm reminded of my husband and I, when we were in California, and he as a child used to pan for gold up in the foothills and up in the Sierras of Northern California. And I was introduced to gold panning about 15 years ago. And, you know, in my mind, panning for gold, you know, that was a quick way to get rich. Let me tell you, it's not easy to pan for gold. It's hard work. And you have to do a lot sometimes to even find the fine gold. It takes a lot of sifting and shifting and being in cold water. And let me tell you, when you find something, its value is so great because you've worked so hard.
That is so good.
You may be seated. Sister Jerry McGee is going to come and share with you this morning.
Praise the Lord.
Well, you know, when the Bible says in Revelation, I advise for you to buy from me gold refined by fire and white raiment, the Bible says God watches over His word to perform it. The leaf withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. He sent His word, not folks, to heal you. And what I want to share today is, I really know it's from the Lord because it really ties in with types and shadows. It ties in with what Jim taught. It ties in with what Vito taught. It ties in with what Tom taught. And it's just, God is so smart. But the word is that what I want to share today is I want to show you how the enemy gets ground in your life to abolish this devil made me do it idea. You know, there's a consensus among most deliverance ministers. I don't feel it here. I thank God for Lake Hamilton. I thank God that they teach repentance here. But there's a consensus that the devil made me do it. Oh, honey, you got a demon. Let me cast him out of you, you poor thing. We have demons because of sin in our lives. Every violation of this word, oh, and you know, you hear teachers that say, well, you have to violate the word a whole bunch before you get a demon. That's not true. When you step out of the word of God corrects you. And somebody said this, I don't know who said it, I don't know if it was Jim, or I don't know if it was Vito, or I don't know if it was Tom, or I don't know if it was Bo, but God uses the demons to give you a spanking. The demons are God's vengeance. God are executors of God's covenant. And the scripture says that a covenant is not valid unless men are dead. Does that mean God wants you to go out and kill yourself? No. It means Romans 12:1, present your body to God as a living sacrifice. And I guess some of you have known I've lost weight. It's because I never saw my food tied in with a sacrifice to God. And I guess, I don't know what happened to me, but I thank God. I think the idolatry of food has been broken. It's not important to me anymore. I still like to eat, but it's not, you know. Anyway, that's another message. I'm going to teach that at the Spiritual Warfare Conference. Hallelujah. But let's pray. Father, if you don't anoint this word, it's just a bunch of words. And we thank you. We ask you to breathe life into your word. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the word of God. We thank you that when we use the word of God, we create your presence because you are the word of God. Thank you for your presence here today. Father, I ask you to cover this camp and cover us and our ministries and everything that concerns us with the blood of Jesus. Cover every person that is watching by internet. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. And Lord, we take our seat in the heavenly places. We take the Kratos power, the dunamis power, the exousia power that you've given us to bind and loose, and the keys you've given us to the kingdom, and we bind you, Satan, on earth and declare that you are bound in heaven. We declare in the name of Jesus that you, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places are bound. And I want to say something to you. If we're not afraid to bind demons, can I tell you Satan's in charge of them? You know what deliverance is? James 4:7. Give yourself to God. Vito said this. Give yourself to God. And number two, resist the devil and he'll flee. And that is deliverance in a nutshell. And that's why deliverance don't work, is because people don't repent. And so in the name of Jesus, Satan, we bind you, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenly places, and we declare that you are bound on earth, you're bound in the heavenlies. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, against this camp, against Glenn, against any worker at this camp, Patty, Kevin, Linda, Rhonda, Mari, in the name of Jesus, Don and Ada, and anyone else that works at this camp. Any worker, we declare you're bound. We declare our Father who art in heaven, God the Father, the Creator of the universe, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we bind every demon from anybody on the internet that would be trying to curse these meetings. We declare that you're bound in the name of Jesus. And we bind and break every word, curse, spell, hex, charm, incantation, divination, assignments, attachments, voodoo, magic, black magic, potions, spells, pillows, amulets, bands, ley lines. We break your power. Words of death, words of iniquity, curses, assignments, and rituals. And Lord, over us and the saints, we declare a special covering of warrior angels to boomerang back on the enemy, and our enemy's not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, to boomerang back on the enemy every curse and assignment sent against us, not to hurt them, not to hurt the people that are sending them, but so that they will fear God and fear cursing your children, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So it's not the devil made me do it. It's not you poor soul, you got a demon, I'll cast him out, I have authority. You know what? If God lets the demons loose on you, you don't have authority to bind them because God is the authority, right? Amen? And so, you know, I was sitting in a meeting at a break time, and I was sitting behind these people that were trying to cast a demon out of this lady. And it seemed like I sat there for 2 hours and watched them trying to get the demon out of this lady. And I was just thinking, you know, they need to lead her in repentance. And so one of her friends came around and sat by me, and I said, you know, they need to lead her in repentance over this lady. She said, oh, go pray for them. And I said, no, I didn't want to pray. And within 2 minutes, and I give God the glory, I don't take anything you know God gave you. So you can't take any credit for anything you know. It's God's grace that you weren't one of those children born to sex slaves. It's God's grace that you weren't born under a bridge. So everything we have, God gave us in the name of Jesus. And within a minute, I led that lady in repentance, and with a minute, she was free. And it was God. And so I want by God, I know that God gave me this teaching to show you in the Word of God how the enemy gets ground. And last night, I was so glad that Bo talked about the types and shadows. Because the types and shadows in the Word of God are types and shadows of the enemy, depending on how it's used. And it's not, I'm just going to give you a few scriptures today, and he just gave you a few last night, but it's all over the Word. It's everywhere you look. You know, the Bible says that Job was the most righteous man that lived upon the earth because the reason he feared God and turned away from evil. But if you read the book of Job, you see that Job was full of sin in Job 42, and you see that God allowed Satan to attack Job. Not one place did Job say, oh, the devil made me do it. He didn't say, oh boy, the devil's really getting me today. I'm just being attacked by the enemy today. I've discovered that when I get attacked, hey, there's fly darts flying. When I get attacked, I'm saying, okay, God, why is the enemy attacking me? The scripture says that the scepter of wickedness will not rest upon the land of the righteous. This is my land. Where I live is my land. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says you are a building, you're a house, and you're a field. Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13 says you're soil. And some of you're one of those types of soil. You're either the type of soil that the word comes and the devil steals it. Scripture says if you don't take care how you listen, even what you think you have will be taken away. And can I tell you, you better stop the TV because it is programming you. It's Goliath speaking to you. And we go, oh yeah, oh my goodness, they're going to pass this bill. Oh my goodness. And I've done it, oh my goodness, I've been the worst one of any of you. But I see it's just Goliath trying to. If the devil can get us fearful, he has got us out of our position in the heavenly places. And I don't even watch it anymore. Except to watch maybe my grandson-to-be that plays for the University of Texas. And I never watched a ball game in my whole life, never have been interested, but now I have the TV right here watching it. In fact, I hadn't watched it in so long that I didn't even know how to connect it up. I didn't even know how to turn it on. I had to call DirecTV to get the program. But you better quit watching it because the news media is owned by the Illuminati, which owns most of our politicians, Democrats and Republicans. They own it all. They own the IRS, the Federal Reserve. They own it all. And they're programming you. What they're doing is to get Christians into fear and out of their position in the heavenly places. So I've discovered that if there's just flying darts, I just rebuke it. If it's hitting me and getting to me, I'm saying, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? And I repent. And it's gone. And I can tell you, I've been in deliverance 30 years, and if the devil attacks me, I don't even know it. He does, but I see that God allows it to teach me something. And don't be afraid to bind principalities and powers. They're inferior to Satan, and God says, give yourself to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee. And they're just peons compared to Satan. And we've got two angels for every demon. Leonard Ravenhill said that he wasn't going to moan and groan because he had God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and he had two-thirds of the angels on his side. And so we do. For every demon, there's two angels. And God uses the devil. The Bible says everything was created by him and for him. There wasn't anything that was created that was made by him and for him. Scripture says he's created the wicked to ruin. And in, I have so many notes, I don't even know where to go. Isn't it amazing when you can listen to cute little stories, not ever get tired. Watch TV, don't get sleepy. Get in the Word, and the enemy wants to put you to sleep. And somebody said this, I don't know who, one of the speakers, and it's so true. If you want to sleep good, put your Bible right there and say, okay, devil, the next time you wake me up, I'm going to read the Word. That's what happened to me. In 1972, my husband left me for a secretary, and I was in such trauma and such a broken heart that I was trying to sleep. But I was awake, but I was asleep. Does that make sense? How many of you have been in such distress that your heart is so broken? I mean, at that time in my life, I could walk around the block and never break a sweat because I could wear a sweater in the summertime. My body was in such trauma that my sleeping clothes were wet and stuck to me. My hair was stuck to my neck because of the trauma in my life. And I told the devil one night, I said, okay, you're going to wake me up. I'm going to hit you with the Word of God every time you wake me up. And I want you to know that at one time he woke me up. And I got the Word, and never again has he woke me up. It is a blessing to be able to sleep at night. The Bible says the fear of the Lord. By the fear of the Lord, a man can sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. I live in the middle of 116 acres, don't even have shades on my windows. And I can tell you the angels, there's angels all over that property. The Bible says, appoint understanding and discretion to watch over you. And I heard Derek Prince say he believed those were two big angels. And I believe they're standing right at my gate. And they're standing at your gate. If the righteous are going to possess the gates of the wicked, that means their gates are blocked. Is that right? Hallelujah, I like that. Psalm 17:13 in the King James says, "Arise, O Lord, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword." When you see the word sword, here come the demons. When you see the wrath of God, here comes the demons. And you know, you can pray deliverance over somebody all day long, and if they're not repentant, I mean, you can shoo the buzzards off, and they may be gone for 2 hours, but let me tell you, just like a dead carcass, the buzzards come back. So you have to bury the carcass if you don't want the demons to come back. And so, all of you who've been in deliverance know that you can pray for somebody till your tongue hangs out, and if they're not repentant, the demons won't leave. Go to Isaiah 20. I'm going to do a lot of scriptures, but I want you to see in the Word of God how the enemy gets ground. And Father, I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Put your hands on your ears. Father, give me ears to hear. I have ears, but I want ears that hear. Dig out, excavate, and irrigate my ears, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Okay, let's start by going to Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24, verse 5. It says, "The earth is also polluted and defiled, and never before in history has it been so polluted." Every day you think, oh dear God, what other kind of evil is going to take place? "It has been polluted by the inhabitants, for they transgress laws." Now, Galatians 5:19, it gives a list of the deeds of the flesh, and one of the speakers used Galatians 5, I don't know which one it was. But I made a note. It says, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not under the law, right? So if you don't walk in the Spirit, you are under the law. Is that correct? And so the demons are executors of that law. An example is... let's just use Hot Springs. If you drive through Hot Springs and you drive the speed limit, you're not under the laws of Hot Springs. But when you violate the law, you come under the law. So the point is that you're not under the law till you violate the law of God. If your life is not producing the fruit of the Spirit through you denying yourself, taking up your cross and following the Lord, then you are under the law. In every area you're not submitted to God, you're under the law. In every area that you're not submitted to God, that you have an idol, can I tell you, you get angry? Did you know that anger is connected to idolatry? Did you know that depression, bitterness, anger, hostility, in fact, all sin is connected to idolatry. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. And so any sin that you're not dying to puts you back under the law. That's why you get so bothered. That's why you get your parade rained on. Why you get so hurt. Why you get your button pushed. Those things are connected to idols. As little children, when we're provoked to anger, we don't know we can go to God because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. But what we do is we stuff it and we think, when I grow up, life's going to be different. I'm not going to work like my mother did. Was one of the things I did. I'm going to have a father knows best kind of home. Blah, blah. When I grow up, life's going to be different. Those judgments that are not dealt with at the cross as children sets in motion forces to cause us to get our parade rained on, our button pushed, bothered. I'm discovering that when family members bother me, how many of you get bothered by your family members? I say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Well, she's just acting like you used to. Oh, God, forgive me. Or if somebody in your family says something to a family member that hurts you, you think, Lord, what are you trying to show me? I'm trying to show you that's how you treated your husband. And as I repent, those things get broken and relationships get restored. You know, God uses the turkeys in your life to mirror what He wants to change in you. I thank God for that. I thank God for teaching me that if He never taught me anything else. Because it's caused me to live in total peace. When my peace gets upset, I say, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And I do what He says. What I need to repent of. The scepter of wickedness will not rest upon the land of the righteous. If it rests on your land, there's something that God's wanting you to repent of. if it's just flying darts, which you're going to all have flying darts, you just take up the shield of faith. But you know, wherever I have sin, I don't have faith. 1 John 3:21, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. You know how sometimes you just say, I'm going to believe, but I can't, I still have fear? It's because your conscience isn't clear. I've discovered that when I get my conscience clear, hey, I have great faith. And I'm not going to tell you how the Lord showed me that, because that's a whole other message. Okay, it says they've, verse 5, the earth is also polluted, defiled, by the inhabitants, for they have transgressed laws, violated statutes, broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and those who live in it are held guilty. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned. And it's because of idolatry. And an idol is anything that you're loving more than you love God. Wherever you get your button pushed, you have an idol. It's a wounded place that God wants to heal. And I've discovered that if I get my button pushed about something, and I do, I say, okay, Lord, why are you trying to show me? I was in church one day, and somebody said something, and I'm telling you, inside, and I don't get mad easy. Inside, it made me so mad. And I didn't let on, but I said, Lord, why did that make me so mad? And the Lord said, she said what your husband did. The Lord showed me something else. I had forgiven my husband for thousands of things. The Lord showed me another thing I hadn't forgiven him for. And the minute I said, Lord, I forgive him for that, they said something like, well, I think I'll move to another town and live with my mother and dad. And it made me so mad because that's what my husband did. You see, that was another issue that was unresolved. And I forgave him, and the person that said that was not even an issue anymore. And I've learned to look for the reason why I get mad. Look for the reason why you get your button pushed and your parade rained on. Look for the reason why you do what you do. Okay? And so wherever I have an idol, that opens me up to the powers of darkness. In Ezekiel 14, it says, when I have idols, I put before my face the stumbling block of my iniquity. Go to Proverbs 14:12, please. And I'm just going to take you through scripture after scripture. Let's try Psalms 40:12. It says, for evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm unable to see. That's not it. But anyway. It's really good. James 4:7 says, and that's deliverance in a nutshell, give yourself to God. And number two, resist the devil and he'll flee. That's what deliverance is. If you don't give yourself to God, there's no deliverance. The demons might momentarily leave, but they'll come back. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So if our life is not producing the fruit of the Spirit, there is a law. And the demons are the executors of God's law. God uses the demons to spank you and whip up on you. Okay, go to Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the noisy pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks at darkness or in the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? For you have made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your habitation. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague will come near your dwelling. You see, when you make the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your habitation, no evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. You say, well, I have a plague in my dwelling. We've all had some kind of plague in my dwelling. And so it would be areas where I haven't made the Lord my refuge. Let me see if that what the overhead says. I don't think that's what I was looking for. Did I say the armor of light? When I have on the armor of light, I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God under Psalms 91. Okay, next one. I don't know where. No. That's the wrong one. Anyway, we're so organized, but you know what? God doesn't need my overheads. No. I forgot which one I wanted to start with. Is that what I told you? What does it say? Don't worry about it. Just take it all down. I mean, don't. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Deliverance is just James 4:7. Give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. That's deliverance in a nutshell. If you don't give yourself to God, you won't get deliverance. There might be momentary relief, but it'll be the buzzards will come back and you have to bury the carcass through deliverance. That's what I want. You make the big, that's put on the armor of light. The armor of light is the whole armor of God. And you know what the Lord showed me about this is when I have on the armor of light, the enemy cannot see me behind it. And that's going to be very encouraging in the days we're living in. And when I have on the armor of light, the enemy can look right at me and can't see me. And the more of Jesus I have, the more I repent, the bigger my armor of light is. And if something is attacking me, it means something's sticking out over here. And I say, okay, Lord, why am I getting hit over here? God says, if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I think it was Psalms 40, verse 1 says, I know the Lord is pleased with me when my enemy does not shall triumph over me. You know, you say, oh, the devil just attacked me. And he's attacking you because God's trying to show you something. And I've discovered that when I get attacked, I say, okay, Lord, what do I need to repent of? Now, the flaring darts are flying all the time. But when one sticks in me, I'm saying, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me about this trial that I'm going through? And God uses these things to sanctify you. Every time this happens to me, God shows me something to repent of, and then I have that hole in my armor closed off. And I want to tell you this. I know the devil attacks me, but I'm not even aware of it because I've discovered a greater principle that God allows the enemy to attack me in the areas he wants to change me. If a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies, the demons, to be at peace with you. And so we say it's sin that causes there to be a crack in my armor. God uses the demons to spank me. Okay, the next one, Don. There's a highway of holiness. It says no demon, no bird of prey knows. You see, when I walk the highway of holiness, and let me tell you something, you can be as holy as you think that you are, and you're walking along, and God lets the enemy attack you because he wants to close off that area again. He wants to show you sin to get you back on the highway of holiness. And so it says the highway of holiness no bird of prey knows. Go to the Lord. Give it to me, Lord. Praise the Lord. I just break every curse coming against this meeting. I nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse assignment. And Lord, I ask you to boomerang every curse and assignment back on the enemy, not to kill them, hurt them, harm them, but to cause them to fear God and to see, Lord, that if you curse, it comes back on you. And Isaiah 35:8, yes, I know that, but I'm trying to think of why. Lord, I just praise you, Lord. I just praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just praise you that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every demon that accuses us in judgment we condemn now. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. I'm going to go to Job 28. I don't even know if it's the right one right now. Job 28. Okay, verse 1. Surely there's a mine for silver and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken from the dust, and from rock copper is smelted. Man puts an end to darkness, and to the farthest limit he searches out. The rock in gloom and deep shadow, he sinks his shaft far from habitation, forgotten by the foot. They hang and swing to and fro, far from men. The earth from it comes food, and underneath it is turned up as fire. Its rocks are the course of sapphires, and its dust contains gold. The path, speaking of wisdom, the path of wisdom no bird of prey knows. No demon knows this path. You're hidden with God in Christ, it says in Colossians. And when you walk the way of wisdom, no demon in hell can get to you. And if one does, I've learned to say, okay, Lord, something's sticking out over here. Why am I getting attacked? And if I get attacked, I want to tell you, I don't even realize I'm getting attacked. You see what I'm saying? Learning this principle, if you get attacked, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Something's sticking out over here, Jerry. Well, Lord, what do I need to repent of? I ask you to forgive me. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And I confess it, and I'm back on the highway of holiness. And I walk it, and if something attacks me again, okay, God, what are you trying to show me through this trial? If you don't hear anything else, ask God to show you what he's trying to teach you through the trials you go through. Because the path of wisdom no demon in hell knows. It says the path no bird of prey knows. King James says, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. And then go down in verse 12. But where is wisdom found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says it is not in me, and the sea says it is not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for wisdom. Nor can silver be weighted at its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir. In precious onyx or sapphire, gold or glass cannot equal it. Nothing's greater than wisdom. Nor can it be exchanged for the articles of fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned. And the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. It's greater than gold. In fact, in these last days, your gold isn't going to do you any good if you have any. You better be walking the path of wisdom, because that's the only safe place you'll be. And I'm telling you, it's coming. Where then does wisdom come from, and where is the place of understanding? Thus it's hidden from all the eyes of the living. The demons don't know the way of wisdom. Hallelujah. They don't know that path. It says, and concealed from the birds of the sky, that's types and shadows of the powers of darkness. Abaddon and death, Satan himself say, with our ears we've heard a report of it, but where is it? You see, if I'm walking that path of wisdom, through walking in repentance, I have on that armor of light, or the whole armor of God, it says in Ephesians. I don't have it on if I'm in sin. Every place there's sin in my life, and thank God he doesn't expose all the areas of sin of our life. You can be 100% submitted, and I can tell you I am today, and many of you are. But can I tell you there's so much you don't see about your rotten life? And God uses He uses the attacks to show you, to clean you up. He's appointed the wicked to judge. They see sin and they move in on it. And so then repent, get back on the highway of holiness. It says Abaddon and death, they say, with our ears we've heard a report of wisdom, but where is it? God understands its way and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, now this is the path of wisdom. He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. That is your safe place. In the days we're living in, you need a safe place. Money's not going to buy your way. Gold is not going to buy your way. But walking in wisdom, the Bible says wisdom is to be is better than gold. Hallelujah. And so the path of uh, the The demons don't know that path. Okay, do the next one and hope it's the right one. Now, Psalms 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. Getting back, yeah. Oh, that, yeah, right there. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. God, the Almighty, Almighty God. That's the path of wisdom. To be walking in the way of understanding, to be walking in repentance, keeps you under Psalms 91. Now, if something is sticking out over here, you get attacked, right? Okay, do the next one, Don. When you step out into rebellion, you're stepping out under the shadow of death. Go back to the last one. That's the shadow of the Almighty. Now, move it out. That's the shadow of death. In Psalms 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. Psalms 41:10 says, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shall triumph over me. Now, if you look up here, back to the other one, you see the enemy's triumphing over here. And I've discovered when I get attacked, I say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? You know, there's a teaching going around that the devil's just attacking me all the time. He cannot attack you unless there's something God's trying to show you. And when you repent, it's over. And then he'll give you maybe a few days' peace, and then he'll let something else hit you so he can say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? That's the first thing I say. In fact, I can tell you I'm not even aware of the enemy's attack. And I know he attacks me all the time, but when I'm aware of it, I say, okay, God, what are you trying to show me? And then I give back on the highway of holiness because that's the safe place. And that's a place you better live in these last days. This half-hearted, being carnal Christian, and you better know the Word because there may come a day when you don't have your Bible and you better store it in your heart. I love Bo as a walking Bible. And Lord, you're going to make all of us walking Bibles. Amen? Okay, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden, 2a. And the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed a man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know the story. God told them they better not eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And then they did. You know the story. And then if you look in verse 14, God begins to curse the serpent for tempting Adam and Eve. And he said, cursed are you more than all the cattle, and more than every beast of the field, on your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him. And he says, to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be to your husband. Anyway, it says he told the serpent, Satan, because he had tempted Adam and Eve, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust. And now I want you to see, he tells Adam over here in verse 19, he says, Adam, you're dust. What's he saying? He's saying, Adam, every time your flesh nature manifests, I command the serpent and it bites you. So I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, and I get bit or something attacks me, I've learned to say, okay, Lord, why am I getting attacked? The Scripture says if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies, the demons, Paul said your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. If a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So I'm walking as obedient as I know how to be, and all of a sudden I'm getting hit. That means something's sticking out over here. I'm supposed to be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, abiding under His shadow and protection. But when I'm out here, something attacks me. I say, Lord, what are you trying to show me through this? Okay, He said, by the sword of your face, Adam, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you, Adam, are dust. So He commands the serpent to bite, and then He tells Adam, Adam, you're dust. The serpent is going to crawl on his belly and eat dust, and you're dust. And there's so many scriptures, and we're going to cover some of them. Okay, go, if you will, to Amos 9:3. It says, though they hide on the summit of Carmel, I'll search them out and take them from there, and though they conceal themselves from my sight on the floor of the sea, from there I'll command the serpent and it'll bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, from there I will command the sword that it slay them, and I'll set my eyes against them for evil, not good. So you see, in Amos 9:3, He commands the serpent to bite the dust. And you're dust. So wherever you're not walking the highway of holiness, you get attacked. And some of you may say, oh dear Lord, I'm getting attacked from every angle. God is just, those are opportunities to get yourself back on the highway of holiness. That means everything that we've done in our past life that we've long forgotten has to be confessed. Every detail. We say, well, I've forgiven my mother and father. Well, I have too, but I'm telling you, God still shows me something I need to forgive them for, or something I need to repent of. Okay, go to 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That word means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Well, how do you resist him? You die to the flesh. That isn't, oh, God wants me sick and He wants me suffering. No. When I have to say no to my flesh suffers. And so does yours. Right? When we say no to ourselves and yes to God, our flesh suffers. So it's not talking about suffering of sickness. 1 Peter 5:10. After you've suffered a little while, the God of grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, and establish and perfect you. Glory to God. These attacks are opportunities to get your life clean. Do you ever get clean? No, not till you get to heaven. You see, we're overcomers. And the promises of God are to the overcomers. Okay, if you will, go to Acts 13:40. It says, therefore take heed so that the things spoken of in the prophets may not come on you. Oh, there's something in the prophets that could come on me? Verse 41, behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish, for I'm accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you would never believe, though someone should describe it to you. Now go to Habakkuk 1. That was taken right out of Habakkuk. Chapter 1, verse 8. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle and swoop down to devour. Well, what's it talking about? Talking about demons. All of them come for violence. Their hoarder faces move forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings and rulers are a laughing matter to them. In other words, it doesn't matter how much power or prestige you have. If you're in sin, they just laugh at you. They will sweep through like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty. Whose strength is their God. You know what our strength is? Whatever we're finding strength in is our God. And Habakkuk asked God a question. He said, are you God not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them, the wicked, to judge. They see your sin and they can move in on it. And you, O Rock, have established them to correct. The Bible says that He has created the smith to blow the coals. He's created the wicked to ruin. And He's saying, in other words, He's saying, Lord, why are you allowing this? In verse 13, your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? In other words, why do you let the demons attack us, Lord? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Well, how does the enemy swallow us up? You know, when you're... try the next one, Don, and see if that's the right one. When I'm out there, I get swallowed up. How many of you that are deliverance ministers have prayed for people and nothing happens? It's like there's some block. Well, you've got to get them out of there before you can get the demons out of here. One day I was praying for somebody, and the Lord showed me this principle when it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour," means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. So the enemy can swallow you up. So this is a picture of a person that's totally swallowed up. And that represents really a person that you try to pray for and you can't get nothing to happen. Those of you who are deliverance ministers know there's time it's just like a wall. Nothing happens. And one day I said, well, Lord, when the Lord showed me this principle, I said, well, Lord, how do I get them out of there? The Lord said, just jerk them out. And I just took their hands and I said, I jerked you out of there. And he went, wow, I felt that. You got to get them out of there before you can get the demons out of here. Get them out inside. And sometimes we're swallowed up through trauma. We're swallowed up through idolatry. We're swallowed up through being molested. Okay, verse 13, it says, God, why are you allowing this? And he says, your eyes, his eyes are, and then Habakkuk answers his own question. Your eyes are too pure, too evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why do you let the demons attack us, Lord? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Why have you made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their net, and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they offer a sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large. And so, God appoints the wicked to judge. They see sin, and they move in on it. It's not the devil made me do it kind of thing. Like Flip Wilson said, I've learned that when the devil can't do nothing, God don't let him do. And if he's attacking me, I want to find out what I'm doing. Okay, God, what am I doing wrong? Show me. And then I can, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you all of all unrighteousness. Okay, Psalms 14:4 says, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? Psalms 21:7. For the king trusts in the Lord, and though the loving kindness of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. Put Psalms 81:15. Those who hate the Lord pretend obedience. How many pretenders in the church today? Oh, my goodness, I have never seen the condition of the church the way it is. And as you study the history of the Illuminati, you study all the people that are a part of the one world government, you see that in a certain year they set out to destroy, water down the church. When I first started teaching deliverance seminars, I mean, I could get 100 just like that, and I just had a little tiny ministry. Can I tell you, people nowadays are so watered down and saturated by false doctrines, they don't want to hear the truth. There is a remnant that's being saved out of this big conglomeration of what calls itself church. I have never seen the church in such a mess as it is in today because of the what. And can I tell you, it was a deliberate thing by the Illuminati to destroy, water down doctrines, pay off the false prophets. Where do you think these people get all the money? If you're truly a sheep, truly following God, can you ask yourself a question? Has there been big money in it? No. There hasn't. I thank God for the few supporters that I have. God gave me a tent-making job. I have a kennel, and I wasn't even a dog lover, but I love them now. It's a nasty job, but you know what? It's a humbling job, and it's a job, and I thank God it pays the bills. And I thank God for the few supporters that I have. I praise God for it. But there's no money in God's true ministry. And so when you start teaching true doctrines, it's like, how many of you ever been on a farm and you picked up a board, and when you picked the light hit what was underneath, the bugs scattered? Can I tell you, that's the way it is. When you teach the Word of God, the bugs scatter. And people don't want to hear. Why do I want to hear that I have to crucify my flesh when I can go to Dr. So-and-so and hear a prophecy that doesn't even line up with the Word of God? It's an abomination. I remember there's a highway of holiness, and I remember emailing one of these false prophets and rebuking him in love. And I said, there's no food. He gave a prophecy that a sinner can get on the highway of holiness. And I said, on Isaiah 35 says, no fool, no unclean, no sinner can walk the highway of holiness. And you know what his response was? He said, well, maybe when they get on there, they'll repent of their sin. He said, I'm taking you off my mailing list because you don't understand. And he's one of the leading prophets, so false prophets in Texas. And I tell you, all over the country, there's false prophets giving you false doctrines. And I love what Andrew Strong says. He said, if the first word out of a prophet's mouth is not repent of your sin, I discount everything he says. And I do too. Because the main job of a prophet is to point out your sin and to bring you to righteousness. And I'd rather have one person follow God that I ministered to than multitudes I led down the path of destruction. Amen. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 17:11. A rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Okay, the person that's outside of God's umbrella of protection, the highway of holiness is another way to say it. Being on the potter's wheel is another way of saying it. Crucifying your flesh is another way of saying it. A rebellious man seeks only evil. Can a Christian be rebellious? Can I tell you, a Christian won't stay rebellious? The harlot will. And let me tell you something. The harlot is ho-hum God. Don't believe a lie that somebody you love is saved if they're bored with the gospel. They are asleep. God says, wake up, sleeper. Proverbs 16:4 says, the Lord made everything for His purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. You see, it's not the devil made me do it. Proverbs 28:18 says, he who walks blamelessly will be delivered. So that means without confessing of sins and repentance, there's no deliverance. And you might can shoo a demon off, but let me tell you, if a person's not repentant, he won't stay delivered. Deuteronomy 32 says, they made him, God, jealous, verse 16, with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. Wherever I have sinned, I'm worshiping false gods. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they've not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. No fear of God. You know, I don't think I had some really good forefathers, but I don't think they really feared God. I don't think they even understood confessing of sin. Somebody shared the scripture where it says, I guess it was Bo that shared about, it says, Lord, thank you for your anointing. Thank you that you can speak through Balaam's mule. You can speak through me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It'll come to my mind if I'm supposed to say it. Verse 18, it says, you neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw this and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Then he said, I'll hide my face from them. I'll see what their end shall be, for they're a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They've made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols, and says, so I'm going to make them jealous. And if you keep reading, then you read in verse 22, for a fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest part of Sheol and consumes the earth with its yield and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. I'll heap misfortunes on them. I'll use my arrows on them. They'll be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction in the teeth of beasts. I'll send upon them with the venom of crawling things. The scripture says, he commands the serpent to bite them. Outside the sword shall bereave and inside terror, both young man and the virgin nursing with the man of gray hair. If you read Deuteronomy 32, you can see the progression Well, go to Deuteronomy 32. You see that because of idolatry, it says he makes them jealous. He provokes them to anger in verse 21. Verse 23, he heaps misfortunes on them. The next verse says he'll use his arrows on them. You see, whenever, back up, Don. You see, it's only have on the armor of life when I'm submitted. And if I get attacked in an area, it means something's sticking out over here that God's trying to show me, and I repent and get back under there. And so I have on the armor of light. I'm walking the highway of holiness. And then something attacks me. I'm saying, okay, Lord, show me what you're trying to show me. It says I'm going to heap misfortunes on them. I'll use my arrows on him. You see, the arrows can hit me and stick in me if I'm outside of God's refuge. Otherwise, the fiery darts fly all the time, and if there's not sin, I can take up the shield of faith and quench them. Verse 24 says they'll be wasted by famine or hunger. And God showed me that years ago. There's been so many spiritual roots to my weight problem over the years, and I've been repenting for years and years, taking off layer after layer after layer. And one of the things, I remember a time in my life when I was always hungry. I could eat a meal and 5 minutes later I was still hungry. You see, this is it. It says they'll be wasted by famine. That's hunger. Not only for hunger for physical food, but hunger for spiritual food. It says they'll be consumed by plague. Out here is where the pestilence stalks in darkness. If I have a physical problem and I've got few physical problems in my life, and let me tell you something, I don't go to the world for answers. There's no answers out there. I thank God that I was told some years back that I better do this and I better do that, and I didn't do it. And can I tell you that I am still wearing the same glasses that I wore 6 years ago when they said that, because I didn't let them poke my eyes full of needles and do all that stuff and leave scar tissue. And if you've done that, that's not to condemn you. Another time I let the fear, somebody told me, if you don't get that skin cancer off your nose, that your nose could eat off. Well, I went and I've got a huge scar up here. And he put 8 stitches in my nose and didn't even get the cancer. And I'm still dealing with that. And I can tell you, it's 2/3 gone because I've decided not to go back to the world. Because the repercussions of what they do to you, you need to repent of that. You need to renounce all of the stuff they've done because it's sorcery. I don't care how you try to candy coat it, the Word of God says it's sorcery. And it's putting a band-aid over a spiritual problem. Now, if you go to the doctor, hey, listen, I've been there, done that. I'm not going to condemn anybody. Everybody's walking different places. There's no condemnation. If you got any sense, it's because God gave it to you. You can't take any credit for it. And none of us have all the sense we need, right? I want to get more. And then it says, it talks about bitterness, trust in the wrong rock. Deuteronomy 28 gives you the blessings and the curses in the Bible. Obedience, you're blessed. Disobedience, you're cursed. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Now, that's a good sin list right there, is to go through Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, and whatever you see is on you, find out why and get it off through repentance. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The blessings are carried out by holy angels. The curses are carried out by demon powers. Sickness is a curse. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Well, I'm not going to read Deuteronomy 2:28. It's too long. Y'all can read that when you get home. Okay, Lamentations 2, verse 3 says, in fierce anger he has cut off all the strength of Israel. He's drawn back his right hand from before the enemy, and he's burned in Jacob like a flaming fire consuming round about. He has bent his bow, speaking of God, like an enemy. He has set his right hand like an adversary, and slain all that were pleasant to the eye. In the tent of the daughter of Zion, he's poured out his wrath with fire, like fire. be careful of these fire meetings, because there's a destroying fire and there's a purifying fire. And personally, I don't want anybody to pray for me and scream fire. So you better watch some of that. Lamentations 4 says, he bent his bow like an enemy. He set his right hand like an adversary and slain all that were pleasant to the eye. In the tent of the daughter of Zion, he's poured out his wrath like fire. The Lord has become like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up palaces. He has destroyed its strongholds and multiplied in the daughter of Judah, mourning and moaning. He has violently treated his tabernacle like a garden booth. He has destroyed and appointed his meeting, appointed meeting place. The Lord has caused to be forgotten the appointed feast and Sabbath in Zion, and he has despised the king and priest. The Lord has rejected his altar. He has abandoned his sanctuary. He has delivered into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord as in the day of an appointed feast. The Lord determined to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out his line. He has not restrained his hand from destroying, and he has caused rampart and wall to lament. They have languished together. Her gates have sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the nations. The law is no more. Also, her prophets find no vision from the Lord. And that's where America is today. If a prophet's not telling you to deal with your sin, he's a false prophet, because that's what the prophets do. Lamentations 2:16, all your enemies have opened their mouths wide against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Surely this is the day for which we waited. We have reached it. We have seen the Lord has done what he purposed. He's accomplished his word, which he commanded from days of old. He has thrown down without sparing, and he has caused the enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the might of your adversaries. If a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So when my enemy is not at peace with me, I'm saying, okay, Lord, where does my life not please you? And then I deal with it, I repent, and then the enemy is backed off. And I've been in spiritual warfare for years and years and years, but that principle has kept me from living with the enemy's attacks. When they attack me, I find out why. And so, you know, you can blame the devil for attacking you, but God only lets him attack you in the areas where he's trying to teach you something. Does that mean you'll never go through a trial? No. But you'll overcome. So we either eat with God or we get eight. If you ever been to a Mill Green seminar, he said you either eat with God or you get eight. Revelation 19, go there, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words. So you either eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb, or you are eaten by the vultures, which are the demons. Luke 17:35 says, there'll be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other left. And answering, they said to him, where, Lord, are you going to take them? And Jesus said, where the body is, there also will be the vultures gathered. So I'll show you, the one that gets taken first is the people that are not the remnant. Revelation 19:17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds. Now birds are types and shadows of the powers of darkness. Say to all the birds, come assemble for the great supper of the Lord. You either eat at the marriage supper of the Lord or you get eight. 19, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assemble to make war against Jesus, who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, of which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped him in his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. Go to Zephaniah 1, please. Zephaniah chapter 1. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. So there's two remnants. There's the remnant of the Lord and there's a remnant of Baal. And the names of the idolatrous priest, along with the priest and those who bow down on the housetops, to get to the host of heaven, and those who bow down and swear to the Lord and yet swear by Milcom, which means shame. And those who have turned back from following the Lord, and those who have not sought the Lord are inquired of him. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. You either eat with the Lord or you get ate. He has consecrated his guest. Then it will come about on the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes, the king's sons, and all who clothe themselves with foreign garments. And I'll punish on that day all those who leap over the temple threshold, who fill the house of the Lord with violence and deceit. And on that day, declares the Lord, there will be the sound of a cry from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, and a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitant of the martyr, for all the people of God, all the people of Canaan will be silenced, and all who weigh out silver will be cut off. And it will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lance, and I'll punish the men who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. Go to Jeremiah 51, please. Verse 34. Nebuchadnezzar, which is a type of Satan, king of Babylon, which is the worldly church, has devoured me and crushed me. He has set me down like an enemy, like an empty vessel. He has swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has washed me down, washed me away. May the violence done to me and to my flesh also be upon Babylon. The inhabitants of Zion will say, and may my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. So it says that Satan swallows me down like a monster, swallows me up. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. So you can have demons in you, but you can also be in the demons. And so Satan and his demons were created for God's purpose. Isaiah 54:16, behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work, and I have created the destroyer to ruin. The demons see sin and they move in on it. They have the legal right to move in on it. If you say, oh, I just got so many demons, you tell me, oh, I'm just full of sin. You say, I've got so much sin, I don't know where to start repenting of. Start with step one. Okay, Lord, what's the first thing I need to repent of? Step two, Lord, show me what the next thing is. I've been doing this for like 30 years and God still shows me sin every day. But what I'm saying is, I've been doing this, but if you haven't, you've got stuff that's piled up, and it might look hopeless, but it's not hopeless. Lord, what's step one? Lord, what's step two? Lord, what's step three? And eventually, you'll walk out of that, and the more you repent, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And when I walk along, and I'm walking under the shadow of the Almighty, and I get hit, I'm saying, okay, Lord, why am I getting attacked over here? Lord, I confess my sins and I repent, and I'm back on the highway of holiness. back in a safe place. And you can do that the rest of your life on this earth, and you still will be full of sin. You can be as repentant as you know how to be, and you'll sin less and less. But that's a part of the sanctification process of working out your salvation with fear and trembling. He's created the smith to blow the coals. He's created the wicked to ruin. If your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies, the demons, to be at peace with you. There's another scripture that says, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shall triumph over me. So I've learned over the years that if my enemy is shouting triumph over me, to find out why, take care of it, confess my sins, repent, and if it's certain people I don't need to be around, I remove them. There's been lots of dear friends that I've had over the years that have been like people I've discipled. They came to the place where they wouldn't receive instruction and they would resent anything I told them. So I still love them, I still call them, but they're not in my life anymore. Because if they're full of demons, and I'm thinking of one precious friend of mine who came out of Satanism. She grew up in a family of Satanists. And but see, God was ready for her to grow up on her own. I still love her. I still see her. I still bless her. But I can't have her in my life because it keeps your life in upheaval. If they want to keep the demons, it's not that they don't want to keep them, but, you know, in our stumbling around to do what's right, we wound people too. And we get to where, you know, kind of like we do our kids. Sometimes other people can minister to our kids. I'm thankful that it's not my kid. My kid that I couldn't minister to is in heaven. But, I mean, on his deathbed, it was amazing. The Lord sent people. Every day, people came all over, from all over the country, to minister to my son because I had wounded him in some areas. And, every day somebody was ringing our doorbell to minister to my son in his dying process. And I'm thankful for Dee put his testimony on her TV show in Houston. And is it still going on? God's greatest regret, my son's testimony is still going on in Houston. And he died in 19... When did he die? 20 years ago? I've even forgot. 89, I think. He died in 1989, and his testimony is still going forth on a station that Dee has in Houston, Texas. Praise God. The Lord told me he would be a great servant of the Lord. I never knew it was going to be through a television program. Basically, he says on that that sin is not worth it. And he found the Lord on his deathbed as he was dying of AIDS. He lived a homosexual lifestyle. And I thank God he's in heaven now. And I'd rather have him in heaven. Sometimes I dream he's alive, thinking, oh no, he's I'm afraid he's in sin again. anyway, one day I was telling somebody, I was talking to somebody in his presence when he was about a month before he died. And I said, well, if you have a wayward child, I just turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I didn't know he knew that's what I'd done to him. He said, yes. He said, that works. He said, that's what Mom did. She turned me over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. She said, go get him, dog. Anyway, he's in heaven. I praise God. They asked him a month before he died, Todd, if you could have anything, what would it be? And he said, salvation is enough. Todd, if you could have a choice between living and going on to be with Jesus, what would you choose? I'd choose to go and be with Jesus. Cullen Davis, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he came and ministered every week to Todd. And he said to Todd one day, Todd, if you could live or die, what would you choose? And he said, salvation is enough. Because he had prayed the prayer, been baptized 3 times, but because of that homosexual sin, he couldn't overcome it. And if you're listening by the internet and you have that problem, God wants to set you free and he'll do it. And let me tell you something, your sin is no worse than the sin of the church. Our self-righteousness, our anger. Anger is idolatry. And so when I say this, I'm not pointing any fingers. Sin is sin, no matter who does it. If I do it or you do it, it's still sin. And God says, that we must confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Colossians 1:15 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by God all things were created, both in the heavens and earth, on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him, by Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And so the demons were created. He created the smith to blow the coals. Colossians 1:17, He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Let me read that one again. If your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. Now, your enemies are not flesh and blood, but they're principalities and powers. This whole thing about the devil made me do it kind of thing. If the devil's attacking you, it's God's not pleased by something. And it's when I get attacked, I'm saying, okay, Lord, what are you not pleased about? And I repent and get over it. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And Paul said, your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Psalms 41:11, by this I know that you are pleased with me because my enemy does not shout triumph over me. Are we supposed to be overcomers in Christ Jesus? You say, well, the enemy is shouting triumph over me. Well, then ask God to show him why, show you why. And repent. And then it closes that open spot where you get attacked. You see, I have up the shield of faith, and if I get attacked, that means there's a hole someplace in the head. Psalms 41:11, by this I know that you're pleased with me, Lord, because my enemy does not shout triumph over me. If the enemy is shouting triumph over you in any area, God's not pleased. Psalms 34:4, I sought the Lord, which means to follow the pursuit or search the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Did you know fear is a demon? If you have fear, you know, we disallow it. If you have fear, find out why you have it and get rid of it. It's attached to idolatry. I used to have a fear of being fat. You see, growing up, my dad, you know, when I was fat, I was totally disapproved of. I love this scripture. By this I know you're pleased with me because my enemy does not shout triumph over me. Glory to God. Proverbs 28:18. He who walks blamelessly will be delivered, but he who is crooked will fall at once. Are you seeing through this teaching, it's not the devil made me do it or I'm being attacked here? Yes, you'll be attacked, but there's a difference. If you're walking in obedience and there's nothing God's trying to show you, you just take up the shield of faith and quench the fiery missiles. But if the missiles are getting to you, God's not pleased about something. And I thank God for the victory that He's given me. When I get attacked, I find out why. And of course, I realize a lot of it too. It's really nice living by yourself in the sand pile all by yourself. But just remember, I used to be in the sand pile. And at one time in my life, people called me Miss Job. My husband left me. My children moved off. My son was dying of AIDS. I had a lot of things. I've had a lot of things to overcome. Have I overcome them all? No, but I'm overcoming them as they come up. God, don't allow defeat in your life. Find out why you're defeated and deal with it. And find out, because God wants us to be victorious. He don't want us to live in defeat. I sought means follow for pursuit or search the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Behind every fear is a demon. Proverbs 28:18. He who walks blamelessly will be delivered, but he who is crooked will fall at once. You still think it's the devil made me do it, or the devil can only attack you if God allows it. I've been in deliverance since 1982. And God has taught me that it's not the devil. It's God that you need to deal with. God only lets the devil attack you in the areas He's trying to wake you up. Proverbs 28:26 says, He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Glory to God. Colossians 3:5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 5:3. But do not let it, but sexual immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no sexually immoral or immoral impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. I'm here under God's refuge. I step out here in another realm of rebellion, and here's where the fiery darts are flying. Here I'm safe. If I get attacked, I'm saying, okay, Lord, what's sticking out over here? And I deal with it and get delivered. Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the power of prince of the power of the air, of the same spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Wherever you're disobedient, the prince of the power of the air is working in that area of your life. Go to 1 Chronicles 21, please. 1 Chronicles 21. And I want you to hold your place and then go to 2 Samuel 24. Hold it. I want you to see both places. It's the same story. But 2 Samuel 24:1. Hold your Bible like this. And I want you to read chapter 21, verse 1. Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the princes of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring me word that I may know their number. And Joab said, may the Lord add to his people 100 times as many as they are, but my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Verse 8, and David said to God, I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing, but now please take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Okay, in verse 1 it says Satan stood up and tempted David to number Israel. Okay, and look in 2 Samuel 24, it's the same story, but it reads a little different. Now again the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and it, the anger of the Lord, which is Satan, incited David against them to say, go number Israel. What I want you to see is that when God gets angry, here come the demons. Do you see that? Same story. Satan stood up, and then here, the anger of the Lord. The anger of the Lord is carried out by the powers of darkness. And the tree cutters, I'm just going to give you some scriptures about the tree cutters since the time is late. Matthew 7:18, Jeremiah 46:19-24, Isaiah 14, Jeremiah 6:6-8, Jeremiah 5:10-13, and 15-24, and 3-8. That could be a misprint. Isaiah 22, the whole book of Joel, Proverbs 24, Luke 13:5-9, and Isaiah 5 will tell you about the tree cutters. Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, he who digs a pit will fall in it, and a serpent may bite him through breaks through a wall. So the illustration of the guy outside, he breaks through a wall because there's a wall of protection. There's another scripture that says, for in God's refuge, the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall. And I've discovered and learned that if I get attacked, I find out why. And I can tell you I live in total peace. I'm not even aware of the devil. And I know he's there, and I'm not saying I'm so perfect. Listen, I am constantly repenting. For those of you who've known me for years, I live a lifestyle of repentance. If something bothers me, something gets to me, I find out why. I don't blame somebody else. If I have family members that irritate me, get on my last nerve, God usually shows me how I exactly used to be. And I tell you, as I begin to repent of how I used to be, can I tell you family members change? See, God uses those turkeys in our face to show us ourselves. We think, oh no, we would never do some of the things our family members do. Well, you better examine it. You probably did. So there's the shadow of the Almighty under Psalms 91. Psalms 41 says, I know God is pleased with me. Psalms 41:10 says, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy is not shouting triumph over me. Is he attacking me? Of course he wants to attack me. But I know God's not pleased. It bounces off. But if God's not pleased about something, then I get attacked. I know God is pleased with me when my enemy is not shouting triumph over me. God taught me these principles back in 1980. And I've tried to live by these principles. And I can tell you, I get attacked. I'm not even aware of the devil. And I've been in deliverance since 1980. I've already forgotten. I've been in deliverance all those years, and I don't even focus on the devil. I focus on my sin. And I repent of it. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Psalms 41:10. I know God is pleased with me when my enemy is not shouting triumph over me. Glory to God. If he's shouting triumph, God's not pleased about something. Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, he who digs a pit will fall in it, and a serpent may bite him who breaks through the wall. Show the next one, Don. You see, he just broke through the wall. And that's where you get bit. And if you get bit, God's not pleased. So you're under the shadow of the Almighty, or you're under the shadow of death. Isaiah 35, we've already showed you the highway of holiness. Already seen at Job 28. That the path of wisdom, no bird of prey knows. So that means when I get hit, I've stepped out of the path of wisdom. Is that right? And so, the devil didn't make you do it. He has created the devil for his purposes to whip up on us whenever we're in sin. So stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you what you need to repent of. Why don't you just go with how you're being attacked today? I know there's another scripture that says, I know God is... Proverbs 41:10. I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. Does that mean he never attacks me? No. But he won't shout triumph over you. You'll have victory if when you get attacked, to say, okay, Lord, this is what I've learned. Is if I'm getting attacked, I say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? And I repent. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And so those of you who are in deliverance, James 4:7 is deliverance. Give yourself to God and resist the devil and he will flee. So Lord, search my heart and test my thoughts and show me whatever thing I need to repent of wherever I'm getting hit. I ask for the truth, Lord, that makes me free. Show me where the enemy has been attacking me. Because, Lord, you're not pleased in that area. I want to be victorious, Lord. And I ask for the truth that makes me free in Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you for showing me that through the enemy is the next thing I need to deal with. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for violating your covenants. Lord, forgive me for walking in sin, justifying my sin. God, forgive me for not walking in your spirit, not dwelling in your secret place. Lord, I thank you for showing me my sin. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the truth that sets me free. Lord, forgive me for rebellion. Lord, forgive me for my sin that would cause the enemy to rejoice over me and to eat me up like they eat bread, to swallow me up. Forgive me for not trusting in you. God, forgive me for rebellion. Thank you that you created the wicked to judge. They see sin and they move in on it. But Lord, I thank you that if my ways are pleasing you, I'm hidden. Let me say that again. If your ways are pleasing the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. So if you're getting attacked, it means God's not pleased about something. And I've learned to say, okay, Lord, what are you not pleased about? So Lord, remind me the next time I get attacked to ask you why I'm getting attacked. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for my sin, my disobedience, my rebellion. God, forgive me for eating from the wrong tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Forgive me for rebellion that would cause a wicked messenger to be sent against me. Forgive me that my ways have not pleased you to make even my enemies to be at peace with me. And Lord, you've not been pleased. And because of that, my enemy has been shouting triumph over me. Lord, I want to seek you so you can deliver me from all of my fears. Forgive me for letting myself be deceived. Forgive me for not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God so I could abide under your shadow. Forgive me, Lord, for not walking the highway of holiness. You see, if I'm walking the highway of holiness and you're walking the highway of holiness and then you get hit, you say, okay, Lord, there's something you're not pleased with. You repent and get back on the highway of holiness. And that's the way he keeps you walking the highway of holiness. And we're living in days that if you don't walk the highway of holiness, you're going to be killed. And we might even be killed walking the highway of holiness. But you know what? No weapon formed against you will prosper. And unless God has a higher purpose, I believe that if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and stay there, we will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just come against rebellion. We come against pride and deception. We come against unbelief and doubt. We come against haughtiness, arrogance, pride, resentment, anger, in the name of Jesus. Let me say this. Behind everything that makes you angry is an idol. Anything that pushes your button is linked to an unresolved issue of the heart, which is linked to idolatry. Because as you deal with those issues of the heart, you're no longer in idolatry. So anything that makes you mad or angry is not acceptable. And so I've learned to look, hey, why does that bother me, Lord? When I shared in church, somebody had shared something, and it made me mad inside. Lord, and I didn't let on, but I thought, Lord, why is that making me so mad? And they said, your husband did the very thing they said they were going to do. They said they were going to move to another town because they could get a better job. And that made me so mad. Lord, why is that making me mad? Because anger is not acceptable. It made me mad because that's what my husband did, and that was an area that I had not dealt with. Lord, I forgive him for moving to another town. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask that you remind me that anger in any form is not acceptable because, Lord, I violate your covenant when I don't walk in love. And that opens me up to the attack of the enemy. Everybody stand up. And I want you to picture God's refuge as a big refuge. And you've been outside getting hit by the fiery darts. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come back under your refuge. I want you to step under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a safe place. If your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies, the demons, to be at peace with you. In the name of Jesus. And if you're being attacked in an area over and over, can I tell you, God is not pleased. Amen. And we've all been there. So I'm not coming across like, oh, much. I've experienced all of this. So in the name of Jesus. And I've been there, done all that, and I can tell you I live in total peace. And when something upsets my peace, I say, okay, Lord, why is my peace upset? And it's usually a sin I need to confess or somebody I need to forgive. Something I've done. Judge my mother and father. Something I've done. And when I deal with it, I'm out here getting hit. And then I deal with my sin and I step back under Psalms 91. Glory to God. And that's the place you better live in these last days. Or that is the... Psalms 91 is the highway of holiness. It's Isaiah 35. It's Job... Job 28. It's walking the way of wisdom. Lord, forgive me for not walking the way of wisdom. I forgive my forefathers for not walking the way of wisdom. And Lord, I want to be on the highway of holiness where no bird of prey can come, where I can't get attacked. I only get attacked if you've got something to teach me or you have a higher purpose. Father, I dedicate myself to you. You said if my ways please you, it makes even my enemies, the demons, to be at peace with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Now stay under the umbrella of Psalms 91, because outside of Psalms 91, the arrows are flying. Amen? Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. With love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Jim? Lord, we ask you to bless this food. We ask you to bless it, purify it, sanctify it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless it to digest. We bless us not to overeat. Father, we bless us to be controlled by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask you to sanctify and purify the food. Bless our fellowship. Bless this camp. Bless Glenn. Oh God, heal Glenn in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.